guys. Welcome to episode number 2 of Geocaching Down Under podcast. I'm your host, Simo Shell, and tonight we actually have a special guest with us, and the special guest is none other than the president of Geocaching Victoria Incorporated, and that's Day 1976. G'day, Day.
How you going, Craig? Nice to be here.
Yes, good to see you, mate. Good to see you. And a big shout out to geostuff.com.au for all their support of this podcast as well, and geocaching in general. All right. Tonight we have a great show lined up for you. We have obviously some geo news and chatting about some big upcoming event in the Parkville Mega Event. It's going to be our main topic for tonight. We then have some mail from our listeners and a geocache story of the month, which I unfortunately feature in. So if you're listening live, say g'day in the chat room and enjoy the next 30 minutes of geo chatter. So let's hook right into episode number 2 of the Geocaching Down Under podcast. Okay, this month in geocaching news, we have the gift finalists have been published. Now, I did notice there is no Aussie videos that actually made the cut. However, there is one person in Queensland I know submitted something, but obviously they didn't make it. Day, did you know of anyone who submitted any videos for the GIF?
No, I don't. I saw they had the trailer out today for the GIF movie, but no, I don't know anyone who's submitted it at all.
Yeah, I did see the trailer myself as well, and I did see a couple of common faces in there in the trailer. I did notice that. Who knows? I mean, my GIF event actually got published today, which is pretty cool, and that's in Sydney, and that's going to be on the 9th. Have you got any GIF events around your way?
There's one in Ballarat we have down in Victoria. There's actually been a GIF event published on the Sunday of the Parkville Mega. That won't get a souvenir, but it is still, we'll be showing the GIF on the Sunday on the Parkville Mega as well, too, directly after the closing ceremony.
Oh, right, that's right. We do too. Next up in news, we have obviously the new souvenir has just been advertised in regards to geocaching the connoisseur. And now it's the same as last month, except this time it's 60 points instead of 50 points. Now, how you get these points is this. If you find a cache with just a normal plain pill bottle, mint tin, with no favourite points or whatever, it's five points for that. But if you find a good quality cache that's got 10 favourite points or more, you get 15 points for that particular cache. You get 5 points for events, and if you drop a 2B, it's 1 point. So I do actually like the idea that's encouraging the new players out there to go find good quality caches, and hopefully they learn from the good quality hides and not just hiding the mint tins in the guardrails anymore. So, yes. And by the way, I did get my connoisseur today. Have you got yours yet, Dave?
Not even close. I don't really chase the souvenirs too much. Not my style. But, yeah, no, it's good to see that they are really pushing caches with favourite points. It'll get the people out there finding caches with favourite points, and newbies to see those kind of good caches, better caches is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. And that's exactly what I thought as well. And I actually got mine on a little power trail. Now, each of these My Power Trail is only kind of new caches, but they all had 15 to 20 favourite points each, and well-deserved too. And I had to have the five favourite points up my sleeve to give them one each as well. So that was today for me. It was unreal. Oh, I loved it. It was like 2 hours of bliss. All right, then, Elsa, don't forget, guys, your will attends. Now, the registrations are done, and plan your trips to the next 4 major events in Australia. This month actually kicks off with the WA Goes Big, and that's on the 13th and 14th of October in Dunsborough. And the GC code for that is GC7GXQA, GC7GXQA. If you're over in WA on the 13th and 14th of October, make sure you go and see Kai Zabra. He's over there holding that event, and it's going to be a great event. I did go to the one, not last year, the year before. Actually, no, was it last year? Might have been last year's one. It was last year's one. It was a great event. Obviously, November, we have the Parkville Mega in Melbourne. That's GC75D90, and more about that very soon. And then in Easter next year, we have the Clearwaters event over in Queanbeyan, GC7MVHE. GC7MVHE. And the last one on the planner so far for next year is the Ausgeo Muster down in beautiful Wollongong region, GC7N7ZC, GC7N7ZC, held at the beginning of July, and I do believe that's actually school holidays for most states, and including New Zealand, which is the easternmost state of Australia. so make sure, guys, you plan your trips, get your will attends in, make sure you register on all their geocaching pages and go from there. So next up, guys, so that's all the geocaching news we have for tonight. But next up, we have the official interview with Day himself about the Parkville Mega. Okay, this is the interview now, the official interview with Day 1976 from the Parkville Mega Committee. G'day, Day. We have some great questions come through the mailbag this month about the actual Mega. So let's go through them. And remember, listeners, if you do have any questions at all or comments, just send us an email, geocachingdownunder@gmail.com, and we'll go from there. So the first question, though, tonight, Day, is obviously where is it actually being held, this Mega?
Well, it's being held in Parkville. Which would be pretty obvious, really, wouldn't it? But no, it's being held in Royal Park in Parkville, which is just probably a kilometre or so north of the CBD, right in the heart of the city of Melbourne.
Oh, nice! Right in Melbourne, so totally different this time. I like it. I like it.
We like to spice it up a bit and move it around and give people different options.
Exactly. We do have to move it around. Now, the next question actually comes from Eat Sleep Cash Repeat. She's from Queensland, and obviously she's flying in. So she asks, "How do I get there from the airport?"
Ah, well, if she's staying with us at the accommodation in Urban Camp, then she can email us, so she can book her room at the Urban Camp, and then she can email us, and we'll pick her up from the airport. If she's staying somewhere else, then access from the airport to the city is pretty easy. You get to the Skybus, which takes you directly to Southern Cross Station. And once you're at Southern Cross Station, it's pretty easy. You just jump on the train at the Upfield line. It's only two stops out of the CBD, and you'll be at Flemington Bridge, which is a few hundred metres from the Mega. Or from Southern Cross Station as well, you could walk two blocks to the east, William Street, and then you've got the number 58 tram. Goes up William Street through North Melbourne and stops off about 100 or so metres away from the Mega event.
Wow.
So pretty easy to get there.
So very easy to get there by the sounds of it. And if you're flying into Melbourne and if you're actually staying, so what you're saying is if you're staying with you guys at the event itself, you'll pick them up. They've actually got like a shuttle bus, do you? Or?
Yeah, we've got a number of volunteers who are picking people up. So we've got quite a few people staying with us over the event weekend at Urban Camp. They've booked their accommodation, and we made it obvious that if you're coming in from interstate, then we'll pick you up from the airport.
That's brilliant, mate.
We'll send people out and pick you up. So you just got to email us your flight details and we'll pick you up. So providing you're staying with us, we'll do that for you.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. Oh, I like it, I like it. I'm actually driving from Wollongong. So now my question would be is there parking available?
Yeah, plenty of parking. So a few hundred metres north of the event is the State Netball and Hockey Centre. And we've spoken to them, and they have allowed us to use their parking. They've got ample parking up there. It's all completely free. You don't have to pay for parking at all. So just you drive into the event location, and a couple of hundred metres past where you drive, there's huge amounts of car parking up there. Just park your car wherever you want and walk your way self down to the Mega event. It's pretty easy to do. So,
and I'm sure there's caches along the way as well.
There's a couple of caches in there as well too.
Who's actually coming to the Parkville or the Mega itself? Do you know the demographics and whatnot?
Well, I'm going.
You're
going. So, yeah, that's two. So, last time I checked, I think there was about 380 Wilkins. So we're getting up there, which is good for the event. But, yeah, you're right. It's interesting who is actually coming. We spent a lot of time and effort running lead-up events, not just around Australia, but also internationally. So we had 40-something lead-up events in 15 different countries. Wow. And as a result of that, we've got people coming from Norway and Sweden, USA, Germany, Slovakia, Czech Republic, and the eastern, the most eastern state of Australia, New Zealand, we've got them coming. And there's others. There's quite a few people, so... we've got them coming from all over the world, which is something we really wanted to do, and that's happened really well for us. So
that's
we've got five reviewers teams from around Australia coming, so which is quite a good turnout for some of the reviewers coming. We've got two reviewer teams from Germany coming, And we've also got a couple of the lackeys from USA coming, so it's quite a big turnout from the internationals, wow, as well as people from all around Australia as well. So that's, it should be quite a good mix of people.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And obviously, yeah, all the way around Australia as well. And I would, I dare say, all states of Australia would be there representing.
Yeah, every state of Australia is represented. And yeah, it's and even the most eastern one.
Yes.
And we've got as I said, quite a few internationals. And I've found the internationals over the megas that I've attended have really added to the flavour of the whole event. So just being able to meet them and talk about their geocaching experiences in a completely different country is quite an experience to do. So.
And I find myself, especially with internationals, because I go to a lot of events here in Sydney, just little events here in Sydney, but the internationals who come over to hold their events in Sydney just love talking about Australia, the new things that they find. And you know, the biggest thing is how dangerous the animals are and stuff in Australia. That's what they're scared of the most.
There's nothing dangerous in Parkville, but that's...
Oh, there's those trams. There's trams, isn't there? They're pretty dangerous.
They're about the size of a rhino, and they advertise it's like a rhino on a skateboard, those trams.
I like it. All right, Dave, the very next question. Now, look, I am not going to sugarcoat this question because I've been asked this question several times. And it's the same question all the time. And this is actually, this mega is out of the ordinary. To have a mega event so close to the city with no campsites around, I mean, where are the grey nomads going to park their big rigs and stuff?
Look, you're right, Craig. It's a question I get asked a lot as well too. I think, firstly, I'll state before I answer the whole question is that, yeah, I'm a big fan of megas where you can camp. So I really loved Alexandra and I really love the Geomaster. So as a personal opinion, yeah, I do like the camping option. But I don't think the ability to camp is what makes a good mega. It's great to have, but it's not like a must have. And I think for an example of that, if you remember back to our first mega that we held down here in Victoria, the Melbourne event back in 2015, it's still the biggest event ever held in Australia. Like, this is 4 years later, and we had no on-site camping there. And we had a massive attendance to that. It wasn't something which people were too worried about. And another example, I was chatting today, only this morning, with a guy, Jesse, who is one of the organisers of the Giga event in the USA.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like, you went there.
Yeah, I was at the Giga.
They didn't have any on-site camping. Like, they had camping 20 minutes drive away, which, yeah, they still have here. And that was, yeah, in a large city in the U.S.
It was in Cincinnati.
Out of town, but
yeah,
it's a massive town. And that's the biggest event ever held in the USA.
And no, I don't think – that's right. And I don't think they even organized the actual camping sites themselves. I think someone else actually organized it on their behalf.
Separately.
Yeah.
So I think I love camping. I love the community that feel that gives, but I don't think it's what you really need to have to. It's not the be all and end all of it. It's not the make and break thing for a mega event. As for the big rig camping, yeah, there are caravan parks around, but the idea behind this mega is for people to kind of ditch their cars and use the public transport, and if you can, use a bike to get around, because if you're doing the driving around to try and find caches, you'll spend half your day sitting in traffic at this kind of mega. So it's thinking a little bit differently about how other people in this area will cache, and the way they will cache is certainly on a bike. And if you can't use a bike, then using the grab a Mikey and just use the public transport, because it's a great way to get around the area. And we've found that with the geocaches that we've put out, 120 or so geocaches in the area already, and the amount of logs who are coming through from that saying they're on the bike, they're finding, you know, heaps of caches, and it's the way to get around. That's the thing.
Yeah,
the way to do it.
You got sponsorship from a bike company or something too, don't you?
We got on board just recently, a company, Freddy's Bike Tours, who are offering discount prices for people who use the geocaching code for their website, and you get a discount on their bikes, and they'll have a stall at the mega event where you can pick your bike up, use it for the day, and then go it out. And they've even got an e-bike, so if you're not 100% confident pedaling your bike up and down the little hills that they have around Parkville. You just get one of the e-bikes and they just do it all the way for you.
I'm telling you, the Grey Nomads, they've all got those e-bikes on the back of their caravans. I've seen them, especially P. Press, for instance. He's bought his like years ago when they first come out.
Yeah, so P. Press can ditch that bloody Land Rover he's got. And you know what? Who wants a Land Rover? And just get the e-bike out. That's all he needs. So.
Exactly. And tyres are much cheaper on the e-bike than what they are on the Land Rover.
I saw his car up on a hoist anyway. My Land Rover's not on a hoist, but anyway.
exactly. I don't know where that guy drives, but anyway.
Well, he won't get any punches on the roads in Melbourne, that's for sure.
No, that's good. And look, I'll be honest with you as well, Dave. My mindset is this. You know, like I live in Wollongong and I work in Sydney and I do a lot of my caching between the two. I do cache a lot in the middle and the heart of Sydney. You know, there are muggles galore. It's urban. The GPS doesn't work around there. But you know what? It's just a fact of life. It's part of geocaching. It's not all about the walking the kilometres, you know, in the beautiful bushlands of Australia to grab these big caches. Sometimes you've got to get those little nasty nanos that are hidden under a bench seat, for instance, where there's some old people already sitting on the bench seat. That's all part and parcel of the geocaching experience.
Oh, look, it's always going to be – there'll be people who will it's just not going to be their cup of tea, and that's fine. Most of the caches that we've put out as part of the Parkville series, which, as I said, there's about 120, they're not nanos. We didn't do nanos. That's not what we do. We're trying to encourage something a little bit more than that, although I love hiding a nano myself. And personally, as myself, like I, as myself as a cacher, I own a lot of caches out in the bush. I own probably most of the high altitude caches in Australia, and if I don't own them, then I've found them. And if I haven't found them, they're on my to do list very soon. And certainly long hikes, big hikes. That's what my caching experience is, which is why I don't get the souvenirs you're talking about before. My caching is, you know, I'll plan one trip a month or one trip every couple of months to go find half a dozen. So for me, Parkville is certainly stepping out of my comfort zone, and it's something which I'm looking forward to. Like it's a different caching experience. As that's what we do. With Alexandria was different, Surf Coast was different, and Parkville is really different. So there's a lot of people out there who don't get to cache in the country, and we're always saying, you know, come out to Alexandria, come out to Surf Coast, but these are the megas, and this is where it's going to be great. And so this is kind of turning it around on itself a little bit and saying, you know, why don't you guys come into the city and try this out? It's some people will walk away from this with a completely different view on urban caching, I think. So if they can get over that mindset of that's what we're doing. So
exactly. And actually, just quickly, Sarah Sarah's from New Zealand. She just said in the chat room, why is it that nanos are the only things you find for the next 3 weeks after you pick up a trackable? So true.
Yes, I'm getting to the point now where I have to sort of say no to trackables these days. Because I end up putting them in caches which are a long way away from anywhere.
I know. I'm just lucky I've got actually a large TB hotel on my way to and from work that if I get anything left over, I'll just drop them in there. But that's up to 50-odd trackables in there now. So. All right. No, you're right, Dave. I'm actually coming down as well, and I'll be there for most of the weekend. I'm even thinking about doing a podcast from down there, a live one, which is pretty awesome.
That'd be fantastic.
Someone else has actually already asked as well, what if I can only make it for one day? Can they still log the mega if they only make it for the one day?
Absolutely. It's every mega, if you can only make it for one day or only 1 hour or only 1 minute, you log it. There's some people who will come down, and from our experience, will be on site for dawn to dusk, Saturday and Sunday, and they won't leave, and they'll sit around and talk the entire time, and that's their mega, and that's great. There's some people who just turn up for one day, and they'll be – I know there's already a group of people planning on trying to grab the 11 or whatever cache types in a day, and so they're going to start their day at the top of Mount Buller where the only webcam in Victoria is, and they're going to get the virtual and get the Earth cache and get every different type they can and finish up with the mega. So they'll probably just – you know, drop by for a minute, sign the logbook and continue on. So the mega experience is what – yeah, that's it. So the mega experience is, you know, what you want to make it. It's it can be a real social experience. It can be just grabbing the icon. It can be anything you really want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, I've been to a couple of Megas now over in New Zealand, obviously the Giga and the Ozmaster. I mean, different for the Ozmaster for me because I was obviously part and parcel of the committee, so we were very, very busy and I didn't get out hardly at all.
It was nice to go to a Mega where I didn't have to worry about organizing.
Exactly. And this is what my life's going to be like when I come down there with you guys, is that I'm going to be like experiencing it like a normal geocacher. But also Kitty Catch, actually, she's in Canberra and she asked this question. Kitty Catch. Great geocacher. She's actually over in Seattle at the moment as we speak. As well, she went over.
I saw some photos. Yeah,
Geo Coin Fest and HQ and whatnot. She's asked though, any hints on this year's games, and if we need to bring any special equipment? What activities do you have happening now? I don't know because I haven't been to one of a Mega in Victoria. So what's this game she's talking about?
Okay, I think what Kitty Catch is referring to, I'm guessing, is a couple of years ago we ran at the Surf Coast event. We ran the Victorian Geocaching Tournament, which was supposed to return this year. It was a really popular event, a thing which we ran, which made up one of the major games for the Surf Coast. But due to circumstances kind of beyond our control, we had to cancel that this year. We were really looking forward to it because it was a very, very popular activity. But there's still plenty of other games that we've got planned. Like there's a number of other games planned that we'll be doing over the entire weekend, different activities and fun things that people can get involved with. But, yeah, the Victorian Geocaching Tournament did get cancelled a couple of months ago. So any of the new activities that we'll be doing, they don't require any special equipment that I can think of.
Well, I kind of assume
except maybe a pen.
You might want a pen or one of the, if you're going to do some sort of trail, you need those stamps. They're pretty good as well.
If you want to do that. But all the other equipment that I think you're going to need for any of the activities will be provided. So the Victorian Geocaching Tournament didn't go ahead, but hopefully sometime soon it will.
Yeah, and I did think of that as well because I thought to myself, well, no, if you did need anything, obviously you guys would have already put it out there to the community beforehand. I mean, for us to come down.
Yeah. Oh, yes. The Victoria, the Caching Tournament, which you ran a couple of years ago, was very good because it did ask people to sort of say, bring what you think you will need, and people had a lot of fun with what they did, I think. So, but yeah, unfortunately, that's not going to go ahead this year. So.
No, that's all right. That's right. Actually, you know what? I've got another question for you, and this is just for me personally and for the listeners out there. What, any big news, anything exclusive that you can tell us that no one knows about yet? You know me.
You're looking for an exclusive.
I am. I'm looking for an exclusive. Yeah. The Geocaching Down Under exclusive on the Parkview Omega.
That's the journalist coming out of you already, Craig.
It is.
Probably a big piece of news that has been confirmed kind of recently, but we haven't released yet. I don't think we've released it, is in regards to the Meet the Reviewer session. As I said, we've got about...
Oh, I think... We've lost Day. Just on the exclusive, can you believe it? Oh, my goodness. We have lost Day. And, oh, wow, we need this exclusive, guys. Now, I'm not sure what he's going to say. And I hope that he jumps back in. Can you believe this? Right on the exclusive part, we'll see if he jumps back in.
Oh, there you go.
We missed it.
Back.
Yeah, we missed it. What's the exclusive?
So that was the exclusive part. Did you get all that?
Oh, no, we missed it. You did that on purpose.
No, I didn't. I don't know where did you get me?
All right. We got you at ha ha ha. We always knew you love exclusive, Craig. That's all we got. And then it was like a pause and nothing.
Perfect timing.
Oh, it was. So I'll ask that question again. Any news on exclusive? Don't press the pause button, whatever you do.
I was talking about the Meet the Reviewer session. So as I said before, we've got 5 Australian reviewers coming from all over Australia, and we've got 2 reviewers coming from Germany for that session as well too, which will be quite interesting to get their perspective on it. There'll be the 2 lackeys who are coming, and this is all on the Sunday afternoon. But the thing that we've just found out recently is that one of the lackeys that is coming over from HQ is known as Nicole. She actually heads up the section of HQ that looks after the volunteer reviewers. So she heads up the volunteer reviewers. So I think it'll be really good to get her perspective on a lot of the questions that get asked in this sort of session and trying to get her views on or maybe HQ views on how some of these issues have come up and what their take is on these issues. So it'd be very interesting to have her input on that meet the reviewer session.
Wow. That's awesome, because I'll let you know, we obviously at the muster as well, we had the meet the reviewers. We had quite a few reviewers there, which is awesome. But we did have to, and that was probably the most attended event that we actually had at the muster.
It always is, yeah.
Yeah. But I'll just say this now to all our listeners out there, and that is, make sure if you do attend this, make sure they are volunteer reviewers. And I have to say this before ours as well. Don't. There's no personal questions here. It's not about, oh, what about this cache? What about that cache? Make it generalized questions, and then they're happy to answer from there. Yeah, they were great at ours.
And these people are people too, and it's a common courtesy. They're not employed by you. They're not. You don't get to own them or anything like that. So it's nice to have the. The general questions is always good, and you'll get a lot more out of it if we keep it like that, for sure.
Exactly. Now, last but not least, in terms of the question wise, what's your plans for 2019? I'm probably asking too much here, but what's your plans for 2019, mate?
Me personally, I'm going to retire from Kate. No, I'm not. I can't tell you too much, but yeah, certainly I can confirm, and it's already been confirmed, so it's not an exclusive address, okay? But we do already have a mega and for Victoria in 2019. So we're kind of lucky that we plan these things we start planning them 6-8 months or so before Parkville even happens. We're planning the 2019 mega, so there's people in the background already working on that kind of project, and they've done a wonderful job. I've looked at what they've been doing. They're doing a great job. So they've already been pre-approved for 12-month publication. So they'll get published sometime in November, this event. The mega classification on the 2019 event will be dependent upon the attended logs that we get with Parkville. So HQ will obviously review those before they'll make it a mega. But I can tell you the site's been secured, and we're pleased that to let you know that camping will be available.
But in 2019 there'll be camping. There you go. For all you grey nomads out there, camping will be available in 2019. Actually, one last question. This actually comes from the chat room itself, from Steve Cody, and that is, do you need any more volunteers to actually help out? And if so, where do they register for the volunteers?
Okay, so if you go to the Geocaching Victoria website, which is geocachingvictoria.com.au, you can follow the links to the Parkville event, and then there is a number of blog posts there which will let you give you a link towards getting some more volunteers. Volunteers are what make our mega, for sure. It's we've got a great team of organisers. They certainly put a lot of stuff, put a lot of effort into it. But on the day or on the days that the volunteers are the ones who really pull it together. Without those volunteers who are doing all the hard yards, the big events just won't happen like that. So you can't run them by themselves. So, yeah, for sure. The more volunteers we have, the less work that everyone has to do. So it's nice to have them. The more volunteers we can get, it's really good. So even if you're coming for a day or for a couple of hours, just fill in that registration form, and it has all those abilities on there to say, I'm only there on a Sunday afternoon, or I'm available on the Saturday morning or whatever, and then we can find you a place and say, can you just sit on this booth, or can you direct the traffic, or can you talk to that person, whatever the job that we've got. There's a lot of jobs out there, so it's great to have the volunteers.
Awesome. And a great question. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for that.
He's the head of it. He's actually our head volunteer, so thanks.
Oh, there you go. It was a preempt question. I like it. So there you have it, guys. Anyway, definitely not an event to be missed. Get your Will Attends in now. Register. Plan your trip to the Parkville. It sounds like it's going to be a great mega, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm only saying, actually, I'm staying off site, I know, but I'm actually staying off site itself because I'm driving down.
You're not driving to the event, though. You're going to catch a public transport or a bike or.
Yeah. I'll cash on the way as I walk. Right. We'll see. But anyway, as I said before, we might even be able to do a recording of a special podcast from on site. But don't forget, log your Will Attends, register, and make your plans now. It's still not too late. GC75D90. So next up, we actually have our Geo Mailbag, and Dave, obviously you can stick around, mate. Not a problem at all for that. hope you like my little geocaching down under sort of music. But anyway, that's right, people. We do have a geocaching mailbag. So get your views, your opinions, and your comments and your questions. And they can be read out live on air every single month. Just hit us up on any of our social media networks. Geocaching Down Under is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on YouTube. Or our direct email address is geocachingdownunder@gmail.com. So we've only got a few this month from the actual YouTube site. Geocaching with Lampy says congrats, because obviously he's from France. He says congrats. I won't do it with a French accent because I'm actually hopeless. Congrats for your first podcast, my friend. I try to create my first podcast in France. Love your work. So that'll be one to listen out for, actually, if he's doing a French podcast. Ed Shaper, also known as Tick Magnet, he says, great job with the podcast. Wish I could have watched it live. Looking forward to the next one. He's over in America. See, they can't watch it live too much because it's a different time zone over there. But they obviously catch up on the replay. Fiona and Scott's Adventures, they say, congratulations on the show. Have subbed to see more. Chad Courtney, great first show, guys. Caroline Phelan, C. Phelan, well done on episode one. Looking forward to the next one. John Davies, also known as Frisky Puppet. Congrats on the first show. Sorry I missed it live, but it was worth the wait. Here's to many more. And Lisa Spencer says, congratulations on episode number one. So that's right, guys. That's all we have for the mailbag. So make sure you get your views, opinions, and comments into us on any of our social medias, and we can read them out live on air every single month. Next up, we have a geocache of the story of the month. And this one's done from Pipes Down Under and unfortunately includes myself. Okay, as I said, this one's from Pipes Down Under. And he says, this is a long story. Well, it's not long, but it's a bit embarrassing. G'day, See My Shell. You know this story too well. It was a time when See My Shell and I were caching together and an evil hide had just been published in the area. It was listed as a T4, as you could not get to watercraft to the area, so it's not actually a T5. So we drove down to the start of the trail. Here we jumped out of our G four-wheel drive and started to walk along the dirt walking track. We didn't see anyone along the track, so we were excited to get the FTF. We had walked around 1 kilometre when the arrow to the GPS turned 90 degrees to the right and pointed directly to a small island with a tree on it in the middle of a swampy lake surrounded by reeds and scrub. Definitely an evil cache, this one. So we walked down to the edge of the water. It was freezing cold. It was the middle of winter and around 10 degrees. I began to walk around the edge of the little swamp in an attempt to see if there was another way around, when all of a sudden I heard a big splash and a girl's scream. It was See My Shell, the nutter. He had stripped down to his underwear and just jumped in. I was laughing so hard that I couldn't hold my phone still while trying to film him. He whinged and complained all while breaststroking his way across this swamp. Now, this is where the story gets disturbing for me, because as he got out of the small, as he got out onto the small island, his body emerged from the murky water, much like the creature from the Black Lagoon. I won't describe it in too much detail. I'm still trying to get the image out of my head. He waded to the tree, and then I heard the great sound of found it. He then yelled out to me. We were the first to find, and he said, Pipes, I'm happy to share the FTF. And I thought, sweet. But you need to come and sign your own name. Oh, good grief. It was then I realized that I too would have to strip off and take the plunge. So down to my underwear I went, and I went in. It was freezing cold. Finally get to See My Shell, to hear him giggle at me as I did to him. Just as we signed our own names and placed the cash back, See My Shell fell over a branch and we both began to laugh hysterically. At the same time, some lady dog walkers were walking past and heard us. They stopped and spotted us. Now, Pipes Down Under is 60 years old. I'm in my 40s. In the middle of the winter, standing on an island, muddy, dripping wet, shivering and giggling, all while only in our underwear. I wonder what those ladies thought of us. Either way, it's one of my favourite geocaching moments and such a fun story to tell. So, yes, thanks for that image, Pipes. Wow. Well, I do recall that, actually, that little story, that event. It was an evil cache, too. It was one of many of Hancock Clan's caches that he hides now as part of his evil series. So, anyway, guys, if you have a great geocaching story, make sure you let us know via email, geocachingdownunder@gmail.com, and your story, too, can be read out live on the show. So that's it, mate. That's it, Dave. That's our big night. It went really fast, actually. It was quite good. Thanks to all those who jumped on the YouTube channel tonight. We've actually had a blast, and a big thanks to Dave for joining us, and I hope to see a lot of our listeners at the Parkville Mega. Oh, almost forgot. There's actually going to be a prize too. Ready for this, guys? All right. Everyone loves a prize. All right. So for your chance to win this prize, this month's prize is going to be an awesome Parkville Mega Gear Coin. All you need to do is email us the answer to the following question. Now, email is obviously geocachingdownunder@gmail.com. And the question is, where was the first Victorian geocaching mega held? So where was the first Victorian geocaching mega held? So one lucky winner will be drawn, and that will be announced next month. So you've got 4 weeks to find out the answer. And you know what? If you actually attend Parkville Mega and speak to one of the committee members or even myself at Parkville, you know what? We'll give you the answer. So come and see us at Parkville Mega, and we'll give you the answer to email us. Thanks for joining me tonight. This podcast will be live within the next week or two. And it's actually live every single month here on YouTube. It'll be available for download on Stitcher, TuneIn, and iTunes. A big thanks to geostuff.com.au, one of our great geocaching partners. And that's it from me. So, and Dave, thank you very much for joining up, mate. Have you enjoyed it tonight?
No worries. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it too, yeah.
It was great. Thank you all for joining, guys. And that's it from me. So thanks for watching and for listening. Don't forget to follow the show on all social medias and get outside and find some stuff. So this is See My Shells. I'm over and out. I think I did that too loud, maybe. I don't know.